Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tarot for a Troubled Time, the podcast in which we reflect on our experience of living through the COVID-19 pandemic using the cards of the tarot. I'm your host, River Rose. If you've been listening to previous episodes of this podcast, you know that each week I ask a question of the tarot. It's always a question that's related to the situation we find ourselves in at the moment in time and space. And before we jump into this week's episode, I want to enlist all of your help with upcoming episodes. Do you have a question that you think could benefit us during this troubled time we're living in together? Then let me know on Instagram or Twitter. I'm at @callmeriverrose. Or email me a question you'd like to ask of the tarot at iamriverrose@gmail.com. And perhaps we'll use your question in a future episode. And just to give a few guidelines for effective tarot questions, it's always good to ask an open-ended question, not a yes or no question, or a question that requires a specific prediction. Because remember, we're not telling the future. It's also best to include ourselves or things we can control in the question. So for example, if I were concerned about the fact that I'm unemployed, I wouldn't ask the tarot, when am I going to get a job? Which is finite and closed-ended and is mainly out of my control. But I might ask, what can I do to find a suitable job for me? That kind of thing. Now, having said that, I have to say that this week has felt particularly difficult for me and for most everyone I know around me, from what I can tell. And so I went with a question that is probably not the most rational and maybe breaks the rules that I just set up. My question for this week is, what the actual fuck? Of course, I know this isn't a very constructive question, and there is something more coherent underneath it, in my own defense, which I would say is this. How can I possibly deal with all the devastation that is happening all around me? All of the heartbreak? So as you listen to this and think about the question and the reading, apply it to anything that you're finding too difficult to deal with. Anything that's happening, that's overwhelming for you, that's infuriating, anything that you would like to change but you cannot change or you don't know how to change. This is just an open question about how to deal with what is most difficult in our lives right now, as represented by the what the actual fuck. I came to this question because I've seen and been a part of so many struggles this week. I've learned about more people close to me losing loved ones or struggling with health issues, COVID, but also other illnesses. I also happen to be in the middle of a conflictual work situation, not caused by me, but it's escalating for reasons that are not at all reasonable or comprehensible as far as I'm concerned. And as you know, I'm always following the news very closely, and my what the actual fuck also has a bit to do with what happened in the world this week. Where to begin? Let's see. Okay, we got a sneak peek into Bob Woodward's book about the so-called President of the United States. We found out and heard recorded evidence that this president knew how dangerous COVID-19 was back in February, and he intentionally downplayed the risks of the virus to the public. And the way we found out about this was by hearing interviews that Woodward had with this president, which meant that he himself, Bob Woodward, knew that the president was intentionally downplaying the dangers of COVID. And he kept it to himself until he could launch his book in September. What the actual fuck? We also learned on September 11th, on Friday, in a Politico piece, that this administration has been tampering with weekly CDC reports about COVID-19. These reports are called Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Reports. According to Politico, and I quote, CDC officials have fought back against the most sweeping changes, but have increasingly agreed to allow the political officials to review the reports and in a few cases compromised on the wording, according to three people familiar with the exchanges. The communications aides' efforts to change the language in the CDC's reports have been constant across the summer and continued as recently as Friday afternoon. End quote. What the actual fuck? Manipulating CDC reports about the pandemic? Let's see. What else? We learned that the Department of Justice, is going to represent the so-called president in court as he deals with rape allegations brought against him by E. Jean Carroll. This means that the federal government, using U.S. tax dollars, is defending a man who has been accused of rape or sexual assault or other non-consensual sexual behavior by no less than 25 women. This week we marked a very somber day on September 11th, which was the anniversary of the terrorist attacks of 2001. I always relive the events of that day on September 11th because I was in downtown Manhattan that day. And I do know a couple of people who were killed. And I also know some people who helped with the recovery efforts in New York after the collapse of the World Trade Center. And on a day that is already heavy and somber, we learned that in New York City, at least 42 September 11th survivors have died of COVID this year. And we also learned that the federal government is holding up millions of dollars in funds that have been earmarked for the ongoing support of first responders who assisted us in dealing with the aftermath of the World Trade Center attacks. What the actual fuck? But wait, there's more. Going to the West Coast. More than 30 people have died, hundreds of thousands have been displaced, and millions are still at risk due to wildfires that are raging across large parts of the western United States. Let that sink in. The wildfires, which are part of the natural cycle, have become increasingly dangerous due in part to climate change, which we cause, and in part to our insistence in overpopulating and rebuilding in areas that are always vulnerable to fire. And did you hear that about that one fire in California that was started by pyrotechnics gone awry at a gender reveal party? What the actual fuck? Now, I really do ascribe to a live and let live philosophy, friends, but part of me has to ask, why do people need fireworks to reveal their baby's gender? Why do they need to reveal their baby's gender? Why can't the baby reveal the gender himself or herself or themselves? Hey, parents. Hey, community. I am male. I am female. I am non-binary. Ta-da! Would it really be so hard to wait for that? But wait, there's more. In Lesbos, Greece, an overcrowded refugee camp was also destroyed by fire, leaving 12,000 already vulnerable people without shelter. And in the UK, the dumpster fire that is Brexit rages on beyond all rationality. I'll stop here. I could go on, but I'll stop here. But my point is, this has been an unbearable week for too many people. And so the only thing I could articulate in the face of all of this was, what the actual fuck? How do we go on? Given the state of things and the distressed nature of the question, I thought we'd do a reading that could help nurture every aspect of our being. So I'm using a body, mind, spirit spread. I want to take a look at how we can help heal each aspect of ourselves so that we can keep going. Because we have to keep going. So with this question in mind and the spread determined, I drew three cards. The Lovers, the King of Swords, and the Chariot. The Lovers, the King of Swords, and the Chariot. Now, you may recall that I arranged this spread in a triangle with the body on top, mind card bottom left, and the spirit card on the bottom right. Now, as a response to a very non-specific, very right-brained, and emotional question, what the actual fuck, I find this to be an irrationally positive response. I feel like the cards are saying to us, in the face of all these challenges, you've got this. Which, depending on your state of mind, could be very helpful, or it could lead you to say fuck you to the cards and possibly to me and to this podcast. So as I start to talk about the meanings of the cards and put together the reading for us, please do bear in mind, if you find yourself being impatient or incredulous about what I'm saying as we all continue to navigate through the shitstorm that is 2020 on planet Earth, just have a little patience. So here we go. The overall message I get from these cards is that there is in us a great deal of potential for unity, for harmony, for clarity, and for follow through on our best intentions. I get the sense that the cards are giving us the most encouragement and guidance they can possibly give, telling us to keep going and to tune into whatever positive signs and people and events and breakthroughs are happening right now that are preventing us from falling into an eternal pit of doom and our species into literal extinction. How so, you ask? Well, let's look at the cards. The top card in the reading represents the body, and for that we drew the Lovers, card number 6 in the Major Arcana. Now in the tarot, the 6s represent a couple of interesting things. They tend to represent movement or a journey, and they represent harmony or a movement towards greater harmony, to put the two together. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the Lovers remind us of Adam and Eve as they originally were in the Garden of Eden. They are naked, their bodies are exposed. They're innocent and their hands are outstretched and reaching towards each other, indicating they're about to join together. Above them is a protective angel, presumably the Archangel Raphael, who appears in Christianity and Judaism and even in Islam, who's the symbol of healing. Raphael's presence reminds us that there is a divine element to a lover's union and that this union can bring greater joy and harmony. Way in the background, behind the woman, there's a very lush tree with a snake winding its way down the trunk, once again reminding us of the Garden of Eden and reminding us of earthly pleasures of humans. But behind the man is a different tree full of flames, again reminding us of human passions. And speaking of flames and passions, in the center of the backdrop is a giant smoking volcano, a phallic symbol, which unsubtly reminds us of the explosiveness of the physical passion of lovers. In the representation of the Lovers in the deck we're using on our tarot journey, the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, the two lovers are wearing robes and hoods, and so we can only see a tiny bit of their profiles and their hands, which I think is important because we don't see the genders of the two lovers. They can be any two people in love. Their genders don't matter. Male, female, non-binary. And I think this message is reinforced by the fact that in the place of the Archangel Raphael, there's a resplendent rainbow, which has come to be associated with LGBTQ identities. And there's also a shining heart that is practically bursting with rays coming out of it. And the whole scene is soaring over the two lovers. And the scenery in the background is lush. There's green grass and trees and a flowing river. There's a willow tree off to the left that appears to be blowing in the wind. The sky is very blue. Off to the right, there's an altar, and placed on it are an apple that's cut in two, along with, I believe, a wand or possibly an athame, and a goblet or cup. The two figures are basking in this delicious scene, and they've just bound their hands together with some rope or ribbon in what appears to be a commitment ceremony of some kind. It's a truly beautiful card, which brings together all of the elements, fire, air, earth, water, with this lovely manifestation of love, union, and harmony. So, okay, here we are in the middle of a pandemic. We demand to know what the fuck is happening. How the fuck can we keep going? And the tarot hands us this message that as far as our physical bodies go, there's perfect harmony and beauty and health and love. But what do we do with that? Well, what I suggest is this. With whatever we can control about our lives, it is vital that we take physical care of ourselves and of our loved ones. Sleep and rest as much as we can. Give each other as much physical support as we can. If you live with other people, get as much physical contact as you can. If you live alone, move your body as much as you can. Pamper your body. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Take your medication. See the doctor, especially if you've been putting it off because there's a pandemic. Get some help if you need it. Take care of yourselves and each other. Focus on all the miraculous recoveries, physical recoveries from COVID that we've had. Just think about it. To date, we've had over 29 million cases of COVID around the world, and over 20 million of those people have recovered. That's 20 million miracles all around us. It's true, we've lost almost a million of our siblings, and that is devastating. It's heartbreaking. They're irreplaceable, and there is no way to make up for those losses. But all around us, people are fighting this disease, whether with their bodies by healing themselves and healing others, or even with their minds. They're still fighting by dedicating themselves to therapies and vaccines. We have to do whatever we can to focus on these miracles, to nurture this magic that is happening all around us, because that is what will get us physically through this pandemic. Love yourself. Love everyone around you who is fighting with you. Focus on that and leave the rest in the background. If you feel like you can't do that today, just keep trying tomorrow. Keep trying every day. Focusing on love and harmony is a practice. It doesn't just happen. It isn't easy, especially in the midst of despair. Find someone who can focus with you. Make it a routine. Exercise the ability to practice love. The way we practice yoga or train for a marathon, do it with your whole body. Do it now and don't stop doing it. Don't stop trying. And while we're on the subject of practice and giving it your all, let's move to the second card, which represents the mind in this reading. I don't know what invisible hand helped me to draw these cards today, but for the card of the mind, we got one of the cards that symbolizes the epitome of clarity of mind, the King of Swords. The King represents the most objective, logical, intelligent, fair, authoritative, and assertive parts of us. He's mature, calm, analytical, and he pursues truth and justice. He is also an excellent observer and communicator. The Kings of Swords in both the Rider-Waite-Smith and the modern Spellcaster's Tarot, which we're using, are sitting on their thrones and holding up a sword in their right hands, which you'll recall is also what justice does in the Justice card. Stylistically, the two decks are a little different, of course, but ultimately both these kings have rather serious, no-nonsense expressions on their faces. They may not have the best sense of humor or may not be the life of the party, but you can count on them to solve any problem and let you know exactly what they're thinking. I'll add that the modern Spellcaster's Tarot has a wolf who often appears as the totem or mascot in the suit of swords in this deck, who is sitting docile at the king's feet. Which sort of reminds me that our wild nature can be kept calm if we remain clear in our thoughts, in our minds. So once again, we're getting a card that is the epitome of the element that it represents. We can't have a more positive symbol of a clear mind than the King of Swords. How do we keep a clear mind when we're living in a dumpster fire? Well, again, we do whatever we have to do. I myself do a few things. I meditate. And if you have any interest at all in trying meditation, which I highly recommend, there are many free tools out there to help you get started. There are meditation apps that offer free guided meditation. I myself use one that's called the Insight Timer. There are many podcasts out there by meditation teachers. My two favorites are the Dharma Punks podcast, led by a New York-based Theravada and Buddhist teacher named Josh Korda, K-O-R-D-A, and the Tara Brach podcast, B-R-A-C-H. Tara Brach is a Washington, D.C.-based psychologist and teacher who is also rooted in Buddhism. I also try to engage my mind in things that have nothing to do with the internet, like reading or even studying the tarot, like I'm doing right now and practicing. I think creative activities like writing and drawing can help. And I would say that the thing that we do to nurture our bodies, like physical activity, also help us to clear our minds. In the before times, I used to walk home from work sometimes or walk to meet friends rather than take public transit. And I still do use walking regularly as a way to clear my mind. Moving on to the third card in the reading, which represents the spirit, we have the Chariot, number 7 in the Major Arcana. In the tarot, the sevens find us well on our way in our journey towards harmony and enlightenment, and they find us in the middle of action or engagement with whatever our higher purpose is. Sometimes things are going well when we're at the sevens, and sometimes they're not, but we're continuing to do what we're doing to get what is most wanted and needed out of a situation. In the Rider-Waite-Smith version of The Chariot, we see one human figure inside a chariot, poised for motion and probably for battle, because the figure is wearing armor. Although they are ready to steer the chariot, the two figures who are going to pull the vehicle, two sphinxes, one black, one white, are not harnessed, and the charioteer appears to be poised to steer the chariot with their mind. I should also mention that the figure is holding a large wand of some kind, and that they're covered, and the chariot is also covered in mystical symbols. There are crescent moons and stars and wings and so on. In the background of the card are city walls, a castle, and a river. And this is a very action-oriented card, but at the same time, kind of a mystical card that tells us there's a great potential for harmonious magical movement. If we are in flow, there is potential for our spirits to soar. The modern spellcaster's chariot is even more whimsical and magical because the chariot is already well on its way. It's soaring high above the earth in the sky, above the atmosphere, away from us. It's being pulled by a magical horse that is galloping through the black sky, and the charioteer isn't even a human being, for inside the chariot is a giant, resplendent lotus flower, which coincidentally reminds me of the Buddha saying, "No mud, no lotus," which means roughly the beauty of the lotus flower can only come in the mud. We must accept our surroundings fully, no matter how difficult, and especially when they're difficult, in order to start to change and transcend. The card reminds us of the momentum we can achieve if we set our intention, immerse ourselves in the now, and keep focusing as we begin to follow through on our intention. And just as clearing our mind can help our left brain, setting our intention can help our spirits to soar and can have a spiraling effect that will give us more and more momentum, even in the face of a planet-sized gravitational pull. So how can we possibly make sense of this uber positive, you have everything you need to transcend and success and gain momentum and find harmony and health and joy and all the good things in life in the face of everything that's going on right now? I have no easy answer to that, but I do know this. We have no choice. I know it takes practice. I know it takes persistence. I know it takes patience. It takes support and love. And I know too that it can work, because if it didn't, and I truly believe this, we would no longer be living on this planet if we didn't have the ability to change and transcend. We would become extinct. And we will become extinct when we lose that ability to change and transcend. And you know, I think there is a battle for our species to stay alive right now. I think we're engaged in that battle. I believe that things are that serious. But that is even more reason to think and believe, to set intentions and to work from them with like-minded people. We need to do this in every day, in every way we possibly can. One of the ways I'm doing it is by doing this podcast, reading these cards and sharing my thoughts with you right now. I think the cards are asking us to find ways to generate love and nurturing in whatever ways work for us. There's no one-size-fits-all solution to the troubles we're dealing with right now, but the common thread really can only be love and harmony and support of each other. And so with that, I end this week's reading. I sincerely appreciate you for listening, and I hope you got something out of it. I'll share the reading on Twitter and Instagram. Please look for it on my personal account at @callmeriverrose. If you have questions, comments, and suggestions for me, you can also email me at imriverrose@gmail.com. If you like what you've heard, I encourage you to leave me a 5-star rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast, and to share the podcast with your community. I'll see you next Monday. Be well, take care, and remember, you got this.